Good morning, brothers and sisters. Greeting in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's already been a rich blessing being here this morning, and thank you most for what you shared there. It's an example that God gave us of what happens to our lives when Jesus works in us there, and I really appreciate that. I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day, yet, Lord, another opportunity to come before you and serve you, Lord, and to worship you openly, Lord. And I thank you for this freedom, Lord. Lord, I pray that you to be with me as I share, Lord, the words you've given me. I pray that you be with my stammering tongue, Lord, and to be able to convey what you've given me, Lord. I pray that you'd be with the remainder of the service, and I pray that you'd be with us all. Pray so in precious name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to look at some parables that Jesus spoke to us and draw a little bit from them. So the first one I want to read is in Luke 13 and verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard and came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these three years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said to him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. In this parable, Jesus seems to be giving us an example of his love for us, of his love that he had for us. He wants to give us a second chance. He gives special attention to the fallen and hurting ones. The reason I would say that is because this tree was in the vineyard there, and it wasn't bearing fruit. He shows us the patience. Okay, sorry. In this parable, Jesus shows us the patience God has with us. If you look in verse 7 there, it says, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree and findeth none. So he had given this tree 3 years here before that, and the caregiver was asking for another year for it there. So it's he's long-suffering there. And so one thing about a God who's just long-suffering with us. And I'm thankful for the patience that God takes with me. I know there are times when the Lord has looked for fruit in my life and found none. It humbles me to consider the love he has for us. The next one I want to look at is in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We need to be wise men and build our lives on the solid rock. Sometimes it seems like we start on the rock, and then as time goes on, somehow we end up building on sand as well, and not just around this on the rock there. And it's one thing we need to keep an eye on in our lives and make sure we stay on the rock and don't end up on the beach somewhere there in the sand. And stay strong, because we'll stand the test of time if we remain on the rock there, grounded and rooted in on Jesus Christ there. He's a solid rock for us to build on there. And next one is in Matthew 18. Now look at. This one here starts in verse 21 is where I'd like to start. Then Peter Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus answered and said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he hath, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, saith unto him, Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every man his brother their trespasses. For shall judgment without mercy that showeth no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. James 2:13. And here's a quote from George Herbert that I appreciate about forgiveness. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven, for everyone has need to be forgiven. And in Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now we need to forgive our brother the trespasses. We need to forgive our brother if he trespasses against us, even if he doesn't ask forgiveness. All of us at one point in our lives needed forgiveness. I know in my life I've had to have it, and most of us have also needed the forgiveness of the Lord as well. One thing that David Rousseau brings out in the chapter about forgiveness, he brings out a point about this parable here that I have not really thought about before. And Jesus reveals that God forgives us. It's conditional. The king forgave the servant all of his debt. Yet when the servant refused to forgive the debt he owed to him by his fellow servant, the king rescinded his original forgiveness and reinstated the debt. So that's stuck out to me there. So it's like he is not basically, well, all the Lord has forgiven us, and what I take from this is that basically, if we don't forgive our brothers, then the Lord will reinstate what He's forgiven us, and He will judge us on it. When Jesus was asked about how we should pray, he gave us the Lord's Prayer as an example. And in verse 12 of Matthew 6, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And that's Lord. It's one thing, a point that Jesus brought out in his example of the prayer there, when his disciples asked him there. I think we should take it seriously to forgive others if their trespasses towards us. We need to remember how the Lord forgave us, and He is a wonderful and just judge. The next one I would like to read is in Luke 18, starting in verse 1. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will revenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what then judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, with which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house and justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In the first parable, Jesus points out that if we cry out to God day and night, he will avenge us of our adversary speedily. One thing I have to ask myself is, do I cry out to God day and night from deliverance from adversary? That is a question that I had to ask myself there and to ponder. I'm afraid that too many times we just get used to it and live with it. And at the end of the parable, Jesus asked a question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? This is a sobering question to consider. Now, in the second parable, Jesus gives us an example of two men praying in the temple. I think that Jesus was pointing out to us that we should not only be church Christians, but also Christians at home. We should pray humbly in our closets before him with a pure heart, praying for our neighbors and asking God to be merciful to us and to them. The next one I'd like to read is in Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to the other 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them 5 other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents. Beside them, his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and saith unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at the coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here Jesus brings out that we should be faithful in the little things, and that if we have found faithful in the little things, he shall make us ruler of many things. The Lord would have us to use our talents he has given us, and he will multiply them if we are faithful with what he has given us. May we not be found as the one who hid his talent. And the last one I'd like to look at is in Luke 10. Starting in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus answered unto him, Thou hast answered right, do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, saith unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy to him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do like thou likewise. Jesus brings out in this parable that our neighbor is everyone and anyone around us. In the Webster's 1828 dictionary, the definition I think falls in with this is number 5. It says, one of the human race, anyone that needs our help or to whom we have an opportunity of doing good. What I take from it is that every person in this world is our neighbor, since we're all fall under the human race. In Galatians 6:8-10, it says, For he that soweth to his flesh shall of flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Paul is telling us that we should especially do well to our fellow believers, but we should also do well to all men. That's all that I have, and thank you for listening. May God bless you all.